Father, we honor you in this place tonight. In fact, we reverence you. We've come to this place to bless your name, to speak of your goodness, to tell of your many wonders, to proclaim there's no God besides our God. There's no one like our God. Father, you stand in a category by yourself. We stand in awe, in amazement of you. We're so glad to be saved tonight. So glad that the blood of Jesus has cleansed us, has washed us, has saved us, has made us new again. So glad we draw water with joy from the well of salvation tonight. Just glad. Father, when we think about where we were, when we think about how lost we were, when we think about the condition of our lives before we met Christ, and oh, then came that glorious day when you took Satan's hand off of us, when you placed the hand of the Lord Jesus upon us, when you transferred us out of darkness into the marvelous light, when you took us out of the kingdom of darkness and put us into the kingdom of light. Oh, Father God, nothing can describe our joy, our elation to be born again on tonight, to be saved, the thrill of salvation, the thrill of being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. As we stand before the Word of God tonight, your Word is the most powerful thing that we know. Your Word, Father, is just dripping with anointing. Your Word is just filled with power. Father God, thank you for the awesome, mighty Word of God tonight. We know that you never send your word without a mission, without a purpose, without a goal. Father, we know your word tonight. You've got an aim. You've got a goal. You've got a target, Father God. And we are that target. We are that audience tonight, whether in this building or listening some other way. We're that target audience, Father. And so our ears are open unto the Lord. And Father, like it says in Hebrews, we're going to be different than Hebrews 4:2. For unto us was the word preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith when they heard it. That's not going to be us. Father God, we mix the word. We've made a decision right now to mix this word tonight. We're going to mix this word with faith. Faith's going to arise from our heart as we hear the word. We're going to mix it with faith. And so go ahead and speak. Go ahead and talk to us. Go ahead and tell us about it, Lord. We release you. Speak a word to every circumstance. Speak a word to every person in this place. Speak a word to every household, every individual, every person listening. Speak a word, Father God. Knock down barriers. Break over chains and bondages and hindrances and old ways of thinking. Knock down tradition, Father God. Whatever is necessary, encourage us, we'll be encouraged. Strengthen us, we'll be strengthened tonight. Father, help us, we'll be helped. Correct us, we'll be corrected. Whatever the need tonight, we thank you for the mighty word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not your word. Your word is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow. Your word is a discerner of the thoughts, the very intents of our heart. Thank you for the word, for the mighty word tonight. Father God, thank you for the good Holy Ghost. He's our helper in every situation tonight. He's our revealer of truth. Hallelujah. Thank you for the good Holy Ghost helping us tonight. Father, helping every individual who listens. You help us to hear the word. You help us to apply the word. You help us to hear the truth. Father God, thank you for the Holy Ghost. Where would we be without the great helper tonight? Without our great helper. Hallelujah. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the Holy Word. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And so, Father, accomplish your will, your plan, your purpose in this place. Father, we're not here to make a name for ourselves or let's make some light shine on it. No, we want to reflect Jesus. We want to accomplish your purpose, your plan, your will. We want to hear you say, well done. And so we thank you for all that shall be wrought in our midst here. Thank you for all of those who are ministering down in Oklahoma City. Thank you for helping them, strengthening them, continuing to give them your unction and utterance and anointing. And thank you for protecting them as they travel back. And Father God, thank you for that special unction. Now, you know we've prepared, but that unction, that utterance, all through the helper, through the great helper, the Holy Ghost. Thank you for it. We'll give you all the glory for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, you can have your seat. Hallelujah. If you have your Bible, turn tonight, Psalm 77. Psalm 77. While you're turning, let's thank Dan, the whole team of musicians, the drummer and band on down, the musicians and the singers. Thank them again. Thank them one more time. Hallelujah. We appreciate it. Hallelujah. Praise God. And asking the Lord what to share, what he would have us to share this evening. It just seemed good. Just seemed good on the inside. More than a week ago, when we woke up, we just felt we should read Psalm 77. And so we started reading Psalm 77. Haven't been able to get out of this book in a week, this chapter in a whole week. And just asking the Lord, then he had us to minister then from this particular passage of Scripture. I remember I can't tell you the exact year. It was either 1964 or 66 when our family traveled back from France. My father was in the military. He was in the military for 20 years. And so when the army said go, my dad, he went. I mean, we lived in Japan. We lived in Holland. We lived in France. We lived in Belgium. We lived all over the world in those 20 years. And we had just got back. I've got it written down, but can't remember it precisely tonight, but we had just gotten back from France in 1966, or either, it was 66 or it was 64 or 66. And I was just getting ready to go to school, and we were staying, well, we were living off post, which meant, you know, in the military, you lived on post, you lived in military housing and so forth. And but we didn't live on post, and so, but my school that I was going to was right there adjacent to the military post. And so my mama, she had just started working, and I never forget, my mom said, she said, Bill, now I'm going to be working, and by the time you get out of school, you know, I have to work an extra 30 minutes. And she said, I'm going to zip right down here. And I just, a little young boy getting ready to go to school. And she said, now, Mrs. Hubbard, now the Hubbards, they were our good friend, our good friends. And the Hubbards, you'll remember the Hubbards had a blue station wagon. You remember that? Just mess with you. They did have a blue station wagon, but I'm kidding you. There's no way you would know that. But the Hubbards, our good friends, they did. They had a blue station wagon. And at that time, I don't know what military housing is like now. But at that time, it was all uniform. I mean, every house was connected, and they all looked the same. If you looked at one house on post, you looked at the other house, it's the same thing. You understand what I'm saying? And so my mom said, look, she said, I'm going to be at work when you get out of school, and you're going to just be able to walk right this direction. And, of course, there was housing all the way, or almost all the way, I wouldn't say all the way around the school, but it looked like almost all the way around the school. And she said, so when you come out of class, you're going to come right. She said, you see this direction? And we went over there. She walked with me. We walked back and forth twice. She said, you're just going to walk from your classroom, and right down there is Mrs. Hubbard's house. And I said, okay. And she said, and you know, Mrs. Hubbard has a blue station wagon, and if you get confused, then just look for Mrs. Hubbard's blue station wagon. And I said, I got it. I can remember that blue station wagon. You know, and so my mama said, and then I'll be 30 minutes getting off work, but I'm going to race right here to get you. Don't you worry. And you just walk straight. She said, don't go nowhere else. Walk straight from the school to Miss Hubbard's house. You got it? And I said, I got it. And I saw the blue station wagon, and we walked the route twice, and everything was crystal clear. And so we went to school. But that day, there was a blistering, blinding New Jersey snowstorm. And if you just used to snow out here in Oklahoma, you'll know what I'm talking about. But if you're from anywhere else in different parts of the country where it snows, and I mean snows hard, I mean it was snowing so hard, it was a blinding snowstorm. And so they were letting school out early. And so everybody was excited, all us kids, we were getting out of school early, and there was excitement in the air because you're getting off from school early. And the moment the bell rang, then everybody charged out, and I started walking, and I thought, okay, all I got to do is go to Mrs. Hubbard's house. But the snow had covered everything in white. And when I looked for Mrs. Hubbard's house, I couldn't tell if Mrs. Hubbard's house was north, south, east, or west. I saw just house after house after house, but I couldn't figure out which one was Mrs. Hubbard's house. And the blue station wagon, all the cars were covered in white. And so I was walking around just lost as could be. I walked one direction, but that wasn't it. I walked another direction, that wasn't it. And I was just lost. I didn't know what to do. And every direction, it seemed like I would walk in. It seemed so easy when my mom was showing me, but I was just so lost that day. had no way out and didn't know what I was doing. I was walking in a field just crying. Cold. My coat, I can't even remember if I had my coat on or off, but I just remember I was crying. And I thought, I don't know how I'm going to find Mrs. Hubbard's house. And I'll never forget, boy, I heard the sound of a horn honking. And my mama, we had an English Ford. We'd come back from France with an English Ford that we had shipped back, little tiny car. And I heard the sound of that English Ford, that horn honking. And my mama, she was driving. She had driven up on, I'm somehow in some field somewhere. She had driven up into the field, and she was driving across the snow. She had been looking for me, driving all around looking for me, and she was, you know, naturally worried. She couldn't find me, and then she spotted some little speck of me, and she made a beeline straight across the field, and that English Ford, and my mama was honking that horn, and I finally turned around, and I could see it's my mom. My salvation has come. My mom came to get me. She threw the brakes on that Ford, and she got out of that Ford, and she ran toward me with open arms, and she picked me up. My mom was so warm, and she just covered me in her warmness and just kissed me all over and put me in that car, and she turned the heater up high. It was a great day of salvation. I can still remember it all these years later. This sermon tonight reminds me of that in a way, because God has a way of doing that in all of our lives. God can save you. He can get you out of trouble. You can be in the most unseemly of circumstance. You can be in the most tricky of situations. You may find yourself just in a situation asking yourself, how did I get into this situation? You may have tried to figure it out, tried to figure a way out, how am I going to solve this? How am I going to get out of this? How am I going to get through this? Hey, God's got your answer tonight. What you can't figure out, He already knows. And you may be wandering aimlessly like I was in that snowstorm, but your Father's coming to see about you tonight. He's checking on you tonight. He's blowing the Holy Ghost horn looking for you tonight. He wants to help you. And so I was never so glad that to be just, you know, in the comfort of my mom's love and the warmth of the car. But Psalm 77, this passage of scripture, Israel went through something frightening, terrifying like that. And so the psalmist, he begins to talk about his life. He needs God's help, and he's praying to God. He's not getting any help. In fact, in Psalm 77, the first 11 verses let me just tell you my title. My title of this sermon tonight is A Way Out of No Way. That's the title. A Way Out of No Way. Somebody say that. A Way Out of No Way. Our God's got the power to do that. I said He can make a way when there is no way. He can help you when it seems like there's no help. He can help you. There's nothing He can't get you out of. He can make a way when there is no way. I remember years later in college, and I'd become a Christian, and the Lord, He woke me up, and I'm not going through all this part, but he showed me there were three things He wanted me to do on that campus that were evangelistic in nature. One of them He wanted me to write a Christian article in the school's paper, the Targum, the rector's paper. He wanted me to write a Christian article in there. I knew nothing about that. But anyway, then another thing He wanted me to do, He wanted me to join this organization called the Black Student Congress. And at Rutgers was a large school, state school in New Jersey. At the time when I went there, there were 49,000 students. That's a lot of people. How many know that's a lot of people? 49,000 people. That's a lot of students. And there was a African-American governing association, if you will, the Black Student Congress. And on this Black Student Congress, there sat the 28 black organizations from campus were a part of this Black Student Congress. And Lord woke me up and told me to join the Black Student Congress. That he wanted to use me, especially in an evangelistic way, and that I was to join. But my purpose was to be evangelical. Not political, but to be evangelical. And to join, you have to represent an organization to join. And I was the leader, student leader of our church on campus. We had a church, 200 people on campus, and I was the student leader of that church. And then our pastor would come from off campus, and he would share the word, but all of the other admin stuff and setup and all that, I did that. I was going to join as a member of that New Hope Church. And when I inquired as to how to join, they said, you have to come to a meeting and ask for the right to speak, and then ask if you can be heard, whatever your request is, and then we'll let you know what we feel about it. And so I went down to the meeting, and when they said, why have you come? Now, the night before the meeting was interesting to me. I'm talking about a way out of no way. I'm talking about how God can make a way for you out of no way. He can do for you what no man can do for you. And so the night before, it's the night before I'm supposed to go. I've prayed. I know the Lord's told me to do it. I'm not sure how to do it, but I know what the Lord's told me, and I've prayed. And the night before I'm going down there, I had then a word of wisdom in a dream. And of course, you know, a word of knowledge is going to reveal something usually about the past or coming up to the present. But the word of wisdom usually deals with the future. And I had a definite word of wisdom in a dream. And in my dream, I was sitting kind of in a, just a, I don't know, looked like a small gazebo that was closed in on all sides, just a circular building. And I'm sitting in the middle of that. There's a door on this side of it. There's a door on that side of it. And I'm looking at each door, and I don't know what door I'm going to go through. I'm supposed to go through a door, but I don't know what door, and I don't know how I'm going to get through the door. I'm sitting there in my dream. And all of a sudden, a brother comes through in my dream, a brother named Jack. He was the biggest political leader on campus, biggest African-American political leader on campus. He was well-known. And he came through one of the doors in my dream, grabbed me by the hand, and pulled me through the door. And then I woke up and I thought, well, I don't know what that was about. I thought about it for a minute and thought, well, I better start getting ready. I better get up, get showered, get ready. I'm going down to the meeting today. I went down to the meeting, told them what I wanted to do. And so they said to me, there's 28 leaders around in this big conference room. And so when I told them I wanted to join the Black Student Congress, one of the 28 leaders stood up and said, wait a minute. We should not allow this brother to join. We like him all right, but that church he goes to, New Hope Church, this person said, I've been there. And there's white folks all over that church. There's black folk there, but there's white folk there too. And so the person said, this is a Black Student Congress, and so in our other organizations, there's no white people in the other organizations on this Congress. We shouldn't let him join. So, you know, I wanted to talk up to defend myself. They said, no, you can't say anything. So then somebody else stood up and they said, I've been over to that church too. I saw some white folks in there too. Just then somebody else stood up and they said, so what if there's white folks in there? There's black folks in there. There's white folks in there. There's blue folks in there. It's a church. What you expect? They said, the gospel's for everybody. The gospel ain't just for black folk. Somebody else stood up and said, I've been over there. And they got into a heated debate. I mean, a heated debate. You said, they asked you to leave? No, they didn't ask me to step out. I was watching like a ping pong ball. I was like, oh, Lord. And one was saying he shouldn't be able to join, and the other was saying he should be able to join. And one was saying this about white folk. The other was saying this, that it shouldn't matter. And they must have gone on 15, 20 minutes in a heated debate. And so then finally somebody said, they got so mad, they were angry. They were angry at each other. And so somebody said, well, let's just vote then. Because if we vote, he ain't going to get in. So this person, Jack, that I'm telling you about, that I saw in the dream the night before, he stood up and he was the president of the Black Student Congress, the whole Congress. And he said, I've been to New Hope Church many times. And he said, I don't care who goes there. I don't care what the color of their skin is. He said, I've seen this brother in there. And he said, it shouldn't matter. It's a church. He's here to represent his church. And whatever we have to change in our thinking, we should just change and we should just let him join. He said, I want to let you all know you should be ashamed. He said, I am in full support and we ought to vote him in right now. And somebody else stood up and said, well, you don't know what you're talking about. And so then they started debating again. After another 5 minutes, somebody yelled again, let's just vote on it. And somebody grumbled, we know he ain't going to get in because we'll vote on it. And so they voted. They said, they asked you to step out. No, I was right there. They said, no, you don't go. Just stay right there. You'll know in a minute what your faith is. And so they just voted by a show of hands. And I had more yays than I had nays. And they said, well, you're in. And somebody stood up. And you see, now when that happened, and after Jack stood up and said that, I was thinking about my dream. So somebody else in the Congress stood up, very influential, and said, well, we shouldn't let him vote. If he's in, but we shouldn't let him vote. Wow. Don't give him the power to vote like the rest of us. Let's just let him be in and not have the power to vote. Jack stood up again. Right. He said, I refuse to accept that. He should have the same voting privileges as you and I. He should have the same. He said, I'm not going to. And then they got into another big old debate. And eventually somebody yelled out, let's vote again. And so when they voted me in. I was voting in every day. But I thought of the Lord, and I thought, boy, Lord, you knew. You opened a way for me because I know I would not have gotten in. You showed me the night, last in the dream, you showed me what was going to happen. You showed me how you used that. You used Jack to influence people. And I know what he said swayed people to vote. And I would just say, God, you're an awesome God. You say, what happened after that? I can't tell you. I had time after time after time of opportunity to witness to the leaders of all these organizations. I'm telling you, God gave me some of the most remarkable opportunities to share my faith. I tell you one, I was going in for, we were going for a meeting. You know, we'd have a weekly meeting. I'm going to the meeting and I'm about 15 minutes early. And so I'm walking up the steps to the meeting, and this other young woman, she's the president of one of the black organizations on campus. She's coming. She's 15 minutes early too. And we're walking up the steps, and I got a little portfolio, and I was saying, hi, how are you? And out of my portfolio dropped a track. You know what I mean? Evangelistic track. And so she reached down and picked it up. And when she reached out, she said, oh. She said, what is this? And I said, oh, that's a track that talks about the goodness of Christ and the difference that Christ can make in your life. I said, God's been so good to me. Jesus turned my whole world around. And she said, really? And she said, so what are you doing with this track? And I said, well, I just give it to anybody who wants it. And she said, well, can you tell me more about it? So we went on into the room. There's nobody in the room. In that room, before that meeting, I led her to the Lord right before that meeting. Over and over and over again. To the president, and the vice president came to me at the end of the year and said, we've been talking about it. And they said, we have determined that you should be the president of this Congress, the whole Congress. You should be the president. And we're going to swing everything in your favor. They said, we're not supposed to be doing all this, but we're going to tell you how we're going to do it. We're going to get this group to vote. We got the votes over here. We're going to compile all these things, and you're going to be the president. Except I asked the Lord about it. He said, don't do that. I'm busy leading Bible studies. I got all kind of stuff going. And the Lord told me I'd be too busy to do that. So I thanked him anyway. But I just was able to evangelistically share over and over again my faith that I would not have been able to do had I not been in there. I had a guest preacher come in, preach to all 28 of them. Oh, man. But so what are you saying? I'm saying God can make a way for you out of no way. Did you go to Psalm 77 like I told you? Okay, you took so long to turn there. You took up our time turning there. Okay. Listen to me. In the first 10 verses, you can tell David's in trouble. Let me show you how. He says, verse 1, my voice rises to God. I will cry aloud. Verse 2, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. In the night, my hand was stretched out without weariness. My soul refused to be comforted. Verse 4, you have held my eyelids open. He's saying he can't sleep. I'm so troubled, I cannot speak. You ever been there? He said, I'm so troubled, I can't speak. It gets worse. Verse 7, will the Lord reject forever? He's saying, will the Lord reject my prayer forever? He says, and will he never be favorable again? Has his loving kindness ceased forever? Has his promises come to an end forever? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Or in his anger, has he withdrawn his compassion? One version says, has he withdrawn his promises? You can see he's in trouble. He's crying out to God, but he doesn't feel like he's getting an answer. You ever been there? He's praying to the Lord. And he's saying, I can't sleep. I can't speak. I'm so worried. I'm so troubled. I'm in a bad situation. I need your help, God, and I don't feel I'm getting it. Those first 10 verses. But something shifts from verse 11 to verse 20. Listen to me now. Verse 11 to verse 20, he says this. He says, I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. He says, I will meditate on your work and muse on your deeds. I like that. When the Bible says muse there, it means to speak, to mutter. He said, God, I need your help. I'm not hearing from you. I don't feel like you're there. I don't feel like the promises of God are working in my life. And somebody right here tonight, you've been feeling that way. You've been praying, you've been quoting, but you just feel like, man, I just don't feel answers to prayer. I just don't see answers to prayer in my life. And so he said, I'm going to remember the deeds of the Lord. He said, I'm going to remember your wonders of old. He said, I'm going to meditate on your work. I'm going to think about how good you have been to me. And as he started thinking about that, he says, I'm going to muse. He said, I'm going to muse on your deeds. In other words, I'm going to mutter. I'm going to talk about. I'm going to remind myself of the things you've done for me. And see, if you're struggling tonight, if you're looking for answers to prayer, if you're struggling in a dry season, listen, you need to go back in your mind and start to think how good God's been to you. Think about how God has touched you in your life. Think about how God has saved you over and over again. I remember when I needed money to go to Raymond to go the second year, I was asking the Lord for money and had a good job. And I remember the Lord told me in an elevator to give up that job in between floors. Never forget it. Didn't have a job. Knew he told me to go back to Raymond is what he did. That's how I knew he told me to give up the job. He told me to go back to Raymond. I'd finished 1 year. Man, I got this job and things were going well. And the CFO, the chief financial officer of that company, he told me in an elevator. I was selling my Volvo and I had parked it at the far end of the lot and he pulled up in his Jaguar and he said, Bill, get in. And he rode with me the rest of the way. He gave me a ride the rest of the way to the front of the building. And as we went up the elevator, he said, let me tell you something. Do not, whatever you do in the next 6 months, do not leave this company. I never forget that. And he said, we're going somewhere. We got you in mind. I never forget that. And he told me, matter of fact, he said, nobody knows this. We bought a new office building. And he said, I saw your office on the plans. We got your office already drawn into the plans. He said, whatever you do, don't leave here. And within days of that conversation in an elevator, the Lord told me, go back to Ramah. Ain't that messed up? Lord can mess you up like that. And I knew it was God. I knew it was God telling me to go back to Raymond. I knew I couldn't go to Raymond and keep that job. But a man in a Jaguar told me don't leave. And men in Jaguars know what they're talking about. Child, please. Your heavenly Father knows what he's talking about. And he can show you more down on your knees than some man in a Jaguar. I never forget, I announced I was leaving, and they called me to a secret room and gave me some stock options. And, oh, that looked good. But I thanked them and said, I can't take it. And, man, I could have used that money, too. The stock options that were coming from that, I could have cashed that stock in. I could have used it right then. But I knew what the Lord told me to do. And so I resigned. I resigned. And in the end, my last day, they came in behind a closed door and represented the stock options to me. I thought they were asking me to stay again. I said, listen, I can't take it. I'm telling you, I told them the first time I couldn't take it. And they took it back. And that second time, I told them again, I can't take it. I'm going to Rhema. And he said, I know you are. But this time, we just want to give it to you. Paid for all the Rhema. I said, God has ways to meet your need that you didn't even dream of yet. Let me close this message with this last scripture. I feel like I just got started. How come y'all came in so late? Nah, I won't take any of it back. I told you in verse 11 through 20, he begins to talk about the goodness of God, specifically what God has done in his life over and over again. He begins to verbally say it so that his ears can hear just how good God's been to him. You need to do that. He says, verse 13, your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made your strength. You have made known your strength among the peoples. You have by your power redeemed your people. The sons of Jacob and Joseph. Listen to verse 16. The waters saw you. What's he talking about? He's talking about when God led Israel out of Egypt. If you go back and read Exodus 14, when God led them out of Egypt, he led them down a path that seemed impossible. And he had them camp this place, then move to this place, then move to that place. And this is what God said. He said, Pharaoh, I'm going to make Pharaoh think that we don't know what we're doing. I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart, and he's going to change his mind about Israel, and he's going to charge after him when he sees that they're camping erratically. They're not camping in any real logical path. And so when Pharaoh sees that Israel has been camping erratically all over the place, Pharaoh changes his mind, just like God said. And Pharaoh starts, he gets 600 of the best chariots together. And at that time in Egypt, they say, look, most chariots were two people chariots. Pharaoh had 600 that were three people chariots, three person chariots. He was so bad. So well, militarily so well supplied. So he got 600 three-person chariots plus all the other chariots they had and chased Israel down. And when he chased Israel down, the Bible says there were impassable, jagged mountain ranges to the left of them, and on the other side was the water. It was the frightening Red Sea. And they contemplated, if we go to the water, we'll drown. The mountains are too jagged to cross, and they could see the dust of Pharaoh's chariots closing in. They were frightened out of their mind. And they contemplated, there's no way out. There's no hope for us. There is no escape. There is no way we're getting out of this. We may have gotten out of hot situations before, but not this time. But I came to tell you tonight, God's got a way. He can make a way for you out of no way. When there is no way, when it seems like you're all hedged in on the right side, and it seems you're all hedged in on the left side, and it seems that you're all blocked in, hey, God can make a way right in the middle of it. God has ways to provide for you. He has ways to open doors for you you haven't even thought about. God can provide jobs and homes and cars, whatever it is, God's got it for you. I said, God's not limited by space and time. He's not limited by our small, minuscule human ways. God operates in a realm outside of that. And if you'll keep him outside your little box, we got to close, but let me share this last thing with you. Verse 19 says, your way was in the sea and your path, this is New American Standard, your way was in the sea and your path, if you have up there, if you could put this up in New Living, we're in Psalm 77, verse 19 and 20, if you can put that up in the New Living, I thank you so much, we're going to end on this. Your way was in the sea and your path was in the mighty waters and your footprints may not be known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Now in the New Living, it says this, your road led through the sea, a pathway nobody knew was there. God's got a path for you nobody knows is there. You can't see it. Your neighbor can't see it. Your enemy can't see it. But God's got a way. Hey, you don't even know about it. God is so awesome that if you'll just trust him, hey, if you'll believe him, hey, if you'll quote his promises, he'll bring you through. You don't have to see it for God to do it. You don't have to know how he's going to do it. You just have to trust him. Hey, he's come through for you before. He's been there for you time and then time again. What he's done before, hey, he can do it again for you. Yes, he will. I said, you've been broke, but God didn't let you stay broke. You've been hungry, but God didn't leave you hungry. You've been without, but God didn't leave you empty. Hey, God has come through for you again and then again and then again. And when it looked like you were going under for your last time, God reached down with his hand and lifted you back up again. Oh, yes, he did. You know he did it. You didn't have the money to pay your rent, but God came through for you. I wish I had somebody to say amen in here. You didn't have the money to pick that car payment, but God came through for you. You didn't have a job to go through, but God gave you favor and gave you a job to go to. You didn't know how he was going to do it, but he did it anyway. He made a way out of no way. And the scripture says the way he had was in the sea, and Israel couldn't see it. And so they said, we're going to die, we're going to die, we're going to die, we're going to die. You brought us here to kill us. There's no way out. We're going to die. Stop saying that. Because God is making a way out of no way. Father, we thank you tonight for your people. We thank you for your mighty word. And Father, in this time that we've had, we believe that your spirit is moving and working, strengthening, helping, encouraging, uplifting, correcting, building, speaking to people. And so thank you for making a way. Thank you for opening doors. You're a way maker. You're a need meter. You're a door opener. Oh, you're the blesser of our souls. And we thank you, Father. There's nobody like you. Hallelujah. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you say, brother, I heard your message tonight and man, I need God to do some things for me. My question to you, have you received Jesus as your Savior and Lord? You may be here and say, no, I haven't. I've gone to church. I've been a good person. I try to be a good person. I try to do good. I've never received him. Let me see your hand. I'll pray for you. You say, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. I want to receive him as my Lord tonight. I want to make some changes. Let me see your hand. I'll pray for you. You might be here tonight. You might, thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. You might be here tonight and you might be saying, look, you know, brother, I know I've received Christ before, but now I'm going my own way. I'm doing my own thing. I'm calling my own shots and I've turned my back. I've gone the other way and I want to, oh, that way making God, that way meeting God. I need to get back to God. And you say, I want to make it right tonight. God's knocking on the door of my heart tonight. I got to make this right. Let me see your hand. I want to pray for you. You say, I know what it's like, but I turned around. I went the other way. I want to make it right tonight. I want to get right with God tonight. Oh, come on. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. God's going to help you. What I want you to do for me, I want you to do, this is what I want you to do. If you're in either of those categories, just what I want you to do. Forget about everybody around you. I want you to just stand up boldly on your feet right now. God's going to help you. Just stand up boldly on your feet. I want you just to slip out in the aisle. I want you to come down here and let me pray for you. God's going to help you. He's going to make a way for you. He's going to open a door for you. But you got to obey him. You've got to obey. Just come right on down here. Just boldly. Just don't let nobody stop you. Don't worry about what nobody's thinking. We love you. Nobody's criticizing you. We love you. We love you. We love you. God wants to help you. But you got to take that first step. You got to just come right over here. You got to admit it. You got to admit to the Lord, hey, Lord, I need you and I'm willing to change and turn to you. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's show our love for all these people. Praise God. Hallelujah. God's going to help you. Praise God. God's going to help you. Praise God. The Lord's going to help you. Hallelujah. Somebody else, you want to come? Come on, the altar's open. The Bible says it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. God's not trying to smack you down. He's not trying to swat you. Nah, he loves you so much. And there's nothing God wouldn't do for you. Ladies, here's what I want you to do. I want you to lift one hand to the Lord. That's where your help's coming from tonight. Just lift one hand to him. And say this prayer after me. Father, I come to you now. In the name of Jesus. I ask you to cleanse me. Forgive me. Wash away all my sins. by the blood of Jesus. I accept your offer of forgiveness through Christ. And I want you to come into my heart now, Lord, and make me the person you want me to be. And I will live for you every day of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for touching. Oh, Father God, may they never be the same. Hallelujah. May they never, never. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. May they never be the same. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your hand. Oh, Father, in display right now tonight. Oh, Father God, may your mighty power overshadow them. Father, touch them and drive out that which has been the enemy has tried to attack them with. And Father God, oh, may your healing flow in their bodies. May your power flow in them. I pray that everything will change around them, Father, from this night forward. I thank you, Father God, for honoring your mighty word and your mighty promise. In Jesus' name, may they never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at me just for a moment. This is Reverend Paul. He's the leader of our prayer room. And Reverend Paul is going to take you to that room, give you some free materials. And somebody's going to pray with you one-on-one. Make sure you get everything that you came for. God sees those tears. God sees those tears. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming. Reverend Paul's not going to keep you long, but he's going to give you some free materials. He's going to let you come right back. If you can take your baby, he's going to help you. You want to go around that way? Okay, well, David, you'll know how to help. Okay, so, all right, come on, let's show our love for these folks, amen? Come on, praise God. Is God a good God? Come on, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for everybody going to the prayer room. Thank you for touching and saving, restoring, forgiving, and healing. Thank you, Father, for all you're doing in their lives tonight. Thank you, they will not leave the same way they came here, Father God. Thank you for the power of your love for them. And thank you, Father, for your healing and protection. Father, meet every need of their lives, financially, physically, spiritually, emotionally, in every area of their life, Father. May they experience your overflow and your help and your healing. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. My brother, my sister, our God, he's an awesome God. A way out of no way. You be encouraged tonight. Whatever you got going on in your life, God's got the power and the desire and the willingness to do it. And if you'll just respond in faith, it won't be long. God will bring you through. And sometimes we go through things, and because we live in a realm of space and time, time can always not be our best friend. And sometimes if we're not careful, time can make us impatient, and then we get out of faith if we get impatient. But the Lord wants me to tell you tonight, listen, if you'll stay in faith, if you'll hang in there in spite of what you're seeing with your eyes, if you'll continue to believe what you know is true, God's going to make a way out of no way in your life. Stand up on your feet tonight. If you are here and you're one of our first-time guests, boy, we're so glad that you came. We want you to be here on Wednesday night, Hour of Power. Pastor have a mighty word, and then be back here Sunday morning. Pastor have another word for us. So what I want you to do is go with our connection team members right now. We're going to give you that special gift Associate Pastor Marvin was talking about during the announcements. Go with the connection team members right now. Let's give you that special gift. They're not going to hold you long. They're just going to bless you. So let's thank all of them again. They came first night tonight. We appreciate them. As you go, remember this. You don't have to know how God's going to do it. You don't know everything. You don't have to see how he's going to do it. You can't see everything. And so if you'll just trust him with what you know is his will for your life, he will bring you through. And he'll carve a way in the desert. He'll make a way. The Bible says he made a road. He made a road through the sea. That was the last place Israel would have guessed he would make a road for him. But he carved it up on dry ground. And he'll do the same for you. All right, Father, thank you now for keeping us all safe until we see each other again. We'll give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. God bless you.